Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor. And today we're going to be speaking about Ramsey Clark, of course, who looms so large in modern, you could say, world history. He was known on the world stage. He was given awards, very important one, by the United Nations itself, humanitarian award, which, as far as I know, is shared only with Nelson Mandela and Martin Luther King and Eleanor Roosevelt. Ramsey Clark was very important figure, of course, American history. If you want to know the story of our times, a good way to start would be to follow the career of Ramsey Clark, because he was someone who was truly, they used to use the expression years ago, engaged from a very early age. And he was a young member of the John Kennedy's team when he came in as president. He was assistant to Bobby Kennedy. And he was also worked with Mr. Katzenbach and established really important legislation, probably the most significant since the American Civil War, since the time of Reconstruction. The two names are the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act, both of which struck against legalized segregation in America and finally realized the responsibility of the American people for the American, the American government for the American people, all of American people, to enjoy equal rights and equal conditions under the law. Not that this has been achieved in reality, but much progress was made. And the main thing was made was that this segregation was dealt a great blow. The author of those pieces of legislation, certainly one of the principal authors, was Ramsey Clark. And he is, you could say that would have been plenty for the Lord's work and he could have gone home to rest. But that was in the 1960s, 64 and 1968. But America was getting into a war, quite an unprecedented type of war in Vietnam. And Ramsey, after leaving the Johnson administration, became one of the strongest voices against the Vietnam War and performed wonderful legal work on behalf of people fighting who right to resist that war. And of course, people like Daniel Berrigan and his family who were doing their best to get America to stop behaving like an imperialist power. All through that is the story of Ramsey Clark. And I say that, you know, you could learn history. Not only will you learn history by following the speeches, the writings, the political activity, actions, the founding of movements, the founding of organizations to try to bring the Goliath back under control, the military, aggressive military machine, and in the old American itch to be an empire. Ramsey did everything he could to create the means for the people to resist that. And they did, actually. But if you read the cases that he defended, the representations he made, you'll learn history, you'll learn the best, you'll see the best of the arguments to be made in a time of crisis, whether it was the Vietnam War or the violence involving police repression of Black Americans, the stealing of the land of indigenous peoples. Ramsey was on the scene and often representing and making the arguments. And you could study his cases and become a very informed person. And on top of that, the most important thing is he would develop a moral compass, because that's what he had. He was a rather exceptional figure in American political life. Of course, we could say, and he would be the first to say, in the 1960s and early 70s, throughout the 70s, there were certainly many people, William Kunstler and comes to mind, and others, certainly many others. I would say that Ramsey's, the details of his work and the fact that it not only was it civil rights, but it was militarization, the nuclear issues, the wars of aggression. In each of these, he spoke out and was a moral compass. I should tell our listeners that Ramsey died on April the 9th, 93 years old, I believe. And I had the privilege, I agree with Gloria Larriva, writing in Liberation magazine, liberation.org. I urge you to read her article, but because I was working at the law firm of Roach and Schwartz, and Charles Roach was a man very much like Ramsey Clark, been similar integrity and most important courage, and he had got a law degree and he intended to use it in the best interest of the mass of the people. So they were certainly brothers in arms. You could say they were very close. Ramsey admired Charles very much, and that they became involved with the case of Grenada when Ronald Reagan, and what was really one of the beginnings of this unleashing of the urge to reassert American authority. If people who have just gone through the experience of Donald Trump and his really rather vulgar and aggressive behavior, all in the name of flag waving and America first, the true father of that in our time was Ronald Reagan. And the world was somewhat shocked that Reagan grabbed the opportunity of social unrest and upset. There was a struggle, power struggle in the small nation of Grenada. And Ronald Reagan and Margaret Thatcher saw this as a chance to once again bring imperial diktat into the situation. And they sent the Marines and created havoc. A number of Cubans were killed there, by the way, in my memory. So Ramsey Clark and Charles Roach both felt that, of course, they would put on a trial whomever they chose to capture and make it a show. And they were determined to resist that. And I remember the expression when Ramsey first talked to us about it, and he said he had spoken to the brother of Bernard Cord, who was the principal accused. And he said, Bernard Cord is a straight shooter. He's an honest individual who tried his best for his country, and we should defend him. And I was very proud to be part of that, as was Charles Roach. So in the process, we came to know Ramsey Clark more. And of course, there were similar episodes. The most significant in my work was, of course, when the Rwanda Patriotic Front captured power in Rwanda in 1994. It was decided by the imperial powers that there would be a tribunal. Ramsey Clark argued that these tribunals, they were called ad hoc United Nations tribunals. He said that they violated the UN Charter, and that all they would do would be to impose the wishes and will of the Western powers, which proved to be true in my view. And so a number of us went to work on these cases, And Charles Roach was one of the first to be involved and to find talented Canadians and others and some in the United States to defend the accused with the encouragement of Ramsey Clark. And I will never forget that I was in Arusha, Tanzania, where the tribunal, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, was being set up and first cases were beginning. And I was in a compound late at night. I say late at night, the sun had gone down. In Arusha, when after 6:30, it becomes very dark. And my mobile phone rang, and it was Ramsey Clark, and he wanted to know how things were going. And I summarized the events as best I could. And he said, "Well, what do you think we should do? What can I do?" And I said, "I think it'd be great if you would help us set a mission statement, sort of a guide on for the work." And he said, "You've got it." And the next day, I had a very well-written, of course, and important, very clear document of what Ramsey's take on that tribunal was. And he said, "This tribunal is a war by other means. And history has proven it was a victor's tribunal, because when it was established, it said it was going to try anyone who was guilty of crimes against humanity, genocide, other crimes in the year 1994 in Rwanda. It didn't say this political group or that political group. It said those who have committed these offenses, investigation will decide, will establish who had likely done these things. They'd be brought to book." Well, the only people they brought to book were the people who had been defeated in the war. And anybody knows about war, let's put politics aside, you don't have wars without war crimes on either side, actually, in any war, because war is not, we use the word, but it is organized mayhem and often disorganized mayhem. So Ramsey set the course, in my opinion. And at that time, he did not have a client. He wasn't particularly looking for one. He was just simply being in solidarity with us. But then the case arose in the United States of Pastor Taki Rutamana. And Taki Rutamana was the victim of a popular American book written by Philip Gurevich. And one of the villains in the book was Pastor Taki Rutamana, based on hearsay and political bias, et cetera. Ramsey took his case in the United States. Now, I want our listeners to know, you're listening, by the way, to CIUT 89.5 FM. This is the Taylor Report. We are talking about Ramsey Clark and his role in the a matter of Rwanda, which is very much now back in the headlines because so many things that Ramsey said in 1998, early years, are now being shown to have been true. And they also, had they been, his words been heeded, great tragedies could have been avoided, should have been avoided. Pastor Taki Rutamana was accused, and as a result, I think, of publicity, basically. A public relations job was done on him. It was a smear. And he's a Seventh-day Adventist pastor. And I'm going to say right here in the story that the Seventh-day Adventists had themselves done an investigation. They were experienced. They had a very large congregation, a large membership in Rwanda. And they had sent a very distinguished envoy of their church to make the earliest investigation done in the area of Kibuye. As J.J. Norte, I've got it right. And he had come back and said that he had spoken to members all in the congregation. He had talked to everybody he could before being asked to leave by the RPF Army, probably not asked, but anyhow. And he said they reported that Teki Rutimana had not done anything that was untoward, that he had done his duty. But the U.S. was bound to determine that they were going to support the new government. And so they were anxious to remove the pastor. And the case was argued and went to a federal judge in Texas. And that judge said that, in his opinion, Teki Rutimana, that those who were asking to remove him, he's talking about the federal government, had not made sufficient argument, and he was not persuaded, and quite to the contrary, he assumed he was innocent. And that's where it stood until Madeleine Albright and others decided they didn't care what the judge said, and they moved him anyway so that he could be part of the show in Arusha. But Ramsey, that's a victory. What I would urge people think they want to know about Rwanda, read that judgment. It is all based on the excellent, courageous work of Ramsey Clark. I want to mention something that Ramsey often said, certainly said it several times to me. And because when we're doing this work, it's very demanding, actually. And he was an older guy already. And when he came to Arusha to represent the pastor, because once he was engaged with him, he followed up and came to defend him in Tanzania. Ramsey would always say of this kind of issue, he said, we should exhaust ourselves in pursuit of a good cause. And he knew this to be a good cause. He was, apropos of that remark, I once heard a law professor say to him, why didn't you, when you left as attorney general, why didn't you get one of those, you know, big jobs in Washington and work for one of those firms? And he said, I don't think it's right. People who serve in high public office should not be allowed to go out the door and join firms and organizations and take good pay based on their, one assumes, links with inside the government. He thought that was wrong. His idea was, if you got the talent and you have the commitment, you should be doing the people's work. And so that's why he had taken up the Teki Rutimana case. And of course, he took up so many cases such as this. His courage impressed me because I don't think very many people know, he was at one point in the trial, early going in the trial, he was suffering from a terrible rash on his arm. And it was of the kind that involved a temperature and serious discomfort. And he would go to court. We would come down a mountain, go into the courthouse. He would argue the case. He would have from about, I guess, 9 roughly, through the afternoon, often late in the afternoon. And then he would grab a bit of food and get in a car and go to Moshi, which is, I was looking again today at the map, it's a long way to Moshi. Moshi's at the foot of Mount Kilimanjaro, because there was a clinic there where they were trying to help him. And it was so, and he never batted an eye about this. I mean, he simply showed up and performed and then made that long drive. And by the way, that's now you're talking about driving at night to Moshi. And that road is not a happy road to be on. It's a 2-lane and it's full of surprises. And yet he did that after court every day for quite a long period of time. Then he would get back from Moshi, go to bed, get up and do this and try that case, which, by the way, he did a brilliant job. I've heard judges and lawyers say that they'd never seen anything to match the way he summarized that case. This is the Taylor Report. It is CIUT. It's 89.5 FM. We're going to talk more about Ramsey latter part of the show, but we are very lucky. We have one of our last interviews. Ramsey was on the Taylor Report a number of times, just out of friendship, I suspect. And he had been made a visit to Syria. I believe the year was 2018. I'm going to double check in the meantime. But we have that interview, and we're going to play it now, and then we'll be back following it.